Good morning, people of God. How are you this morning? That's awesome. Awesome. Is this on? Is it? Then I don't need to yell. That's right. This is a special Sunday. We welcome our Lutheran Campus Ministry folk here this morning. We're glad you're here and leading worship with us this morning. Lutheran Campus Ministry is one of our partner ministries with our Saviors and Peace Lutheran here in town. And so, and if you know me, you know, campus ministry is near and dear to my heart since I used to be one. A pastor, I mean. Campus pastor. Like Katie. Anyway, welcome. We're glad you're here. Just another announcement or a thing to come up. Beth, would you come up here? Something new is happening. Has happened. Is happening.
Is happening. Yes. In your bulletin, you'll see a couple of things. There's a green sheet that talks about the Give Plus. And then also on the bottom of the first page of announcements, there's some additional information. Back by popular demand, we now have electronic giving besides just our PayPal that we had previously in the Simply Giving. We also have VanCove Give Plus as an option. They have an app that is available in both the Apple App Store and the Google Android version as well. This QR code, this little box with shading, can take you right to the website. So if you are looking to set up electronic giving, you can do it that way, or as well as we also are offering text to give. So this will be something that will be available for if it's a one-time gift for visitors or things like that. We have all of those options. So we will be getting cards into the pews to make it easier for people to be able to either download the app or visit the website as well. We're just trying to get things rolling and make it an option for everyone.
Thank you, Beth. I'd like to have Katie come up here now at this time.
Good morning, everyone. Before we share our video, I just want to recognize a few people that are here this morning. First, I want to recognize our board members, four that are representatives from Christ Lutheran. One is Josie, and one is Leslie. I don't know if Leslie's here today. That's okay. And the other people that I want to recognize are, we have a few of them here this morning, those who are graduating from LCM and from Stout this spring. So if you are one of those people, would you stand as we recognize your work that you've given to us over the years? All right, and now I will turn it over to Katie, who will share a little bit about the video.
So hi, my name is Katie O'Connell. I am the student coordinator this year for LCM. And every year we make a video that sums up LCM in our year and just kind of how much fun we had. And this year it's full of pictures, but then it's also filled with videos of LCM students saying what it is that they love about LCM or how they would summarize LCM in one word or a short phrase. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Just couldn't be in the fire.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy, and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. I'll invite you to join us in singing our opening song, How Sweet the Sound. Stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 20.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, then they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Come on up. Good morning. See Caden and Camden? Hey, there's Easton and Emmett. Hey, come on up. Good morning. Good slide, Emmett. Awesome. Good morning, everyone. How many of you have heard the phrase, "Everyone has a purpose"? Have you heard that? And Sophie's heard it. Easton, you've heard it. Yeah, you've heard it, right? Everyone has a purpose. And we talk about it a lot, that the Holy Spirit comes to us and gives us gifts, right? Some people can sing. Some people can fix. Some people can teach. Some people, I mean, everybody has different jobs, right? And we can all do different things. Well, in today's story, first we hear about Jesus coming to the disciples, and Thomas isn't there, but Jesus comes and he talks with them, and they're really, really happy, so that when Thomas does come and join them, he says, Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, it's been kind of a wild and crazy week already for them, and now Jesus is coming back, and Thomas says, "I just don't think you're telling me the truth." Well, I think it was Thomas's job to not be there. I think Jesus came to the disciples the first time on purpose when Thomas wasn't there, so that Thomas's job was so that all of the non-believers had somebody to be their leader. Thomas was going to be their leader. What do you think? You think that might be? We don't know for sure. But that could be. Thomas's job was to not believe and to question and to say, "I just don't know about this." Because it was a really hard story to believe. It was. It was really hard to believe that Jesus would come back, because all they had ever known was that when you died, you were dead and you did not come back. And so here we have Thomas, who kind of gets a bad rap for not believing. They say, "Well, he was a disciple and he should have believed." But, you know, really, I think that was Thomas's job. He was meant to be that one that said, "I don't know about that. Let's have some proof." And then when Jesus comes to him later, does Jesus look at him and say, "Oh, Thomas, come on. What were you thinking?" Does he say that? Can you find that part? Did it say that part? He says, "Oh, Thomas, I told you I was coming back." No, he doesn't, does he? He says, "It's all right, Thomas." He says, "Here, look. Here are my hands. You see the scars. Here, look, are my feet. Here are the scars in my feet." He doesn't get angry at Thomas for not believing. He says, that's all right, that's your job. Here I am, and I'm going to show you so that you can then go spread the word, and you can be that person that says, hey, I didn't believe it until I saw it, but now I know for sure. That was a pretty powerful job, I think. What do you think? If we kind of start to not believe, we can be Thomas. We can say, nope, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Jesus. And then we get to turn around and share our story with others, don't we? Do we get to keep our story only to ourselves? Do we get to keep Jesus only to ourselves? No, we have a job too. Our job is to share Jesus with everyone else we meet. We have lots of ways we can do that. We can use all of our talents that the Holy Spirit gives us to share Jesus with everyone. What do you think? Is that a good plan? You've got the plan in your head now. What is a talent that you could share? What do you think? Do you have a talent? We're thinking on it. Think in your heads right now, if you have a talent that you can do really, really well. You thinking it? Very pensive over here. You're thinking about that thing that you can do really well, and now think about how you can use that talent to share Jesus with everyone else. And you can have that important job. Thank you for joining me this morning. Let's go head back to our seats now.
Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. Love, forgiveness, and hope are within us. In the name of God, who sent His Son and the Holy Spirit to show us that we matter and that we are loved. Amen. Today's gospel is about doubt. Doubt is something that we experience every day in one way or another. We doubt in our personal lives, our work lives, our faith lives. And it seems to me that whenever we seek comfort from our feelings of doubt, we find quotes, phrases, and sayings that we shouldn't doubt, that we're weaker if we doubt, and that to be a strong Christian, we shouldn't waver in our faith. All of these quotes, phrases, and sayings that we should find helpful might not be. They may make us doubt more, may make us doubt ourselves or the good things that we are doing, or doubt our relationship with God. Think for a minute about the context in which John's Gospels writer was putting this story of Jesus together. All of the Gospel writers themselves may have not imagined that they were telling stories about things that happened in the past for our generation. They were likely writing down these incredible pieces of Jesus' life so that those in their immediate present and future would be changed by the revolutionary claims that they made or the stories that they shared. But as we know, the stories that were written down had a lasting impact for generations beyond their wildest dreams. They are revolutionary for us as well. The writers of the Gospels chose particular stories as a way to share the hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for us all, and reveal the Messiah and Savior of the world to us. John, in other words, is inviting us into the story, inviting us to make this story our story. When we think of this story, we often think about Thomas, doubting Thomas, as he's most well known to us. He's a big part of this story. But we also have to think about the other disciples. They were afraid. They were scared, so scared, in fact, that they hid behind locked doors. And who can blame them? I'm sure that they were afraid that they were next, that authorities would be coming for Jesus' followers next. But instead, they are met by Jesus, and their fear falls away and is replaced by joy. That is how I think most of us think faith should work. Yes, we may have doubts and questions, but then God arrives and those all fall away, replaced with joy and wonder and unshakable faith. But that's not the way it works with Thomas. He doubts. He questions. He disbelieves. He's not satisfied with secondhand reports and wants to see it for himself. Again, who can blame him? Thomas does come to believe. But all of that comes after he had the chance to voice his doubt. And sometimes faith is like that. It needs the freedom of questions and doubt to really take hold in our lives and in our hearts. Like I said before, we've all been there. We've all doubted something. For me, doubt became overwhelming when I was working as a social worker. Every day I would get to work early in the morning, prepare for the day, come up with a plan for addressing and balancing the needs of patients, families, doctors, and nurses, and try to prepare in any way that I could for the day. And every day, something would come up that would derail my entire plan. Something that would consume my time, that would center around me finding a ride for someone or a bed at a rehab facility. And before I knew it, 2 hours would be completely gone, and I would feel like I accomplished next to nothing. I walked around in a cloud of doubt. I doubted my ability as a social worker. I doubted that what I was doing was really helping anyone, because everyone loves it when a social worker tells you that the doctor is suggesting that you go to a rehab facility. Social workers were everyone's favorite people, let me tell you that. But doubt was overwhelming. I started to doubt everything that I was doing and why I was even in this profession. And it was affecting every part of my life. I even stopped attending church for a little while because life was overwhelming and doubt was clouding my ability to see myself outside of that doubt. One day, though, my perspective changed. I was doing the usual. I was arranging 5 rides at a time for people and telling patients that they needed rehab. And as I walked by the nurse's station, one nurse of a patient I had been working with stopped me and handed me a small note. I opened it to find the most heartfelt thank you from a patient's family. They expressed appreciation for my help in securing post-hospital plans, in helping them during their life transition, and recognizing the hard work that I was putting into this job and making sure every detail of their discharge was taken care of. It was in this moment that I realized that although doubt was part of my life, and I would doubt again, that what I was doing was making a difference, even if I didn't see the results of what I was doing. I was doing my best, and that was all I could do. My perspective changed. The doubt I felt now was coupled with hope for a new tomorrow, and that God would walk alongside me in faith and life in both challenging and joyful times. There were other times, too, that doubt took over and I lost faith, but it made me a stronger person and allowed me to recognize that my own doubts and questions are what make me who I am. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. But doubt is an essential part to our faith and our ability to grow in faith. We often think of Jesus reprimanding Thomas for his doubt, but I don't think that's the case. Jesus understands what his disciples went through. What they lived through was very, very real. Just 2 days before, they watched Jesus, their friend, teacher, and mentor for the past few years, nailed to 2 slabs of wood. Jesus was dead, and with him all the hopes and dreams of the work they had done perished as well. When Thomas sees Jesus risen from the dead and standing among them, Jesus calls him to faith and invites him into a whole new world and a whole new perception of what life can be. So, what does that mean to enter into this new life? Part of that means that we are challenged in our own view of the world and the ways in which we can grow and bring about something more to our communities of faith and the communities that we are part of. Doubts will continue to be part of our faith. We may doubt decisions that are being made in our church or in our community or our country, but Jesus meets us where we are at, in our doubt and in our belief, and brings us back to him every single time. In John's gospel, belief is a verb, not a noun. Believing in Jesus is to be in relationship with Jesus and our neighbor. We are resurrection people. Resurrection is relationship. Resurrection has to be the promise of life with God forever and now. Resurrection is a relationship that will never be broken, no matter how many doubts we have, or if we think we stray from God. God will never abandon us, and we will never be separated from the love of God. Being Easter people and resurrection people, we don't have to have it all figured out before coming to church, before being part of a committee or a group at church or in our school, before helping a neighbor in need, before feeding someone who is hungry, or before caring for someone who is in need. If we have to have it all figured out before we even start, then the likeliness of even starting gets slimmer. All we can do is start. All we can do is take a chance and keep God at the center of what we're doing, and remember that this ministry that we are all part of is part of God's mission in the world. Through our doubts and faith, we learn and grow. And when we share that doubt and faith with others, we create a stronger community that can continue to grow together. Your doubt and willingness to be honest about your doubt may be what someone else needed to hear most to bring them through a dark or lonely time. So let's make room for doubt. Remember that the risen Christ is strong enough to bless our faith, bear our doubts, and use all of us to make a difference in this world that God loves so much. Who knows? Maybe a week or two or a month or a year down the road, our question will be answered. Our doubt will be lessened. Or maybe not yet. The point of being faithful resurrection people isn't to not have doubt, but to live them and to give them to God. And for all of this, we can say thanks be to God. Amen. I'll invite the band to come forward and invite you to join us in singing a song, Never Ending Love. As we pray together, let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving God, remind us every day of the promise of salvation and eternal life you give us through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us faith to trust in that promise every day. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, you know all our doubts, hurts, and sorrows. Give healing to all who need it in body, mind, and soul, and inspire us to bring your love and compassion to all who are in pain. We ask you to be with those whose names are on our hearts and minds. Lord, in your mercy. God of calling, we thank you for all those in our congregation who give of their time, talents, and treasures to support this ministry. May we all continue to answer your call to ministry and stewardship. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, we pray for our country and for leaders around the world. Inspire them to lead with hearts of compassion and justice and help them work for peace. Watch over those in the military that they may be safe. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Joyous Lord, we give thanks for our youth ministry and the ways in which we reach young people through Sunday school, confirmation, and the spot. Bless our ministry partners like Luther Park Bible Camp and Lutheran Campus Ministry in their ministry endeavors as well. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Lord, remind us that the church is bigger than our building. Bless the ELCA, the Northwest Synod of Wisconsin, the churches of Menominee, and all churches around the world that proclaim your gospel. Inspire us to take your word of hope and love outside these walls and share it through our words and deeds no matter where we are. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord is with you always. I'll invite you to share a sign of peace with your neighbor.
Yeah. No. Always cool. Thank you again for free.
We'll receive our morning offering at this time. Would you stand as you're able?
Ready.
As we sing our offertory hymn. Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we received from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We prepare our hearts to receive Holy Communion. And so we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When the meal had ended, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The table has been set. The food has been prepared. And our Lord Jesus is the host, so come and share and eat.
You have made me new, now life begins with you.
Dallas is here. We'll have you keep playing.
I invite you to stand as you're able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace and his peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen.
And now may you know the love of God, may you experience the grace of Jesus, and may you find community through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I'll invite you to remain standing for our sending song, Your Grace is Enough.
Faithfulness, O God.
may be seated. Let's give the LCM folk a big thank you. What's that? We got it. Just want to make a few announcements here. And hey, we're ahead of time. Just want you to know that. Just want you to clock that. So just want you to know that. So see, I bet when we get out early, I bank it for when we get out late. You have to understand. It's the way we roll around here. So anyway, just a few things I want to highlight. Next Sunday is kind of a big Sunday. We have a youth Sunday is next Sunday. The youth will be helping to lead the worship. We're having new members next Sunday. We'll be having a talk on Malawi, focus on Malawi a little bit next Sunday. And what else is happening next Sunday? There's got to be something else. What? Last day of Sunday school? Well, maybe that's not fishing opener. Don't worry about that. That's right. Also, this coming week on Thursday, Arlie, do you want to say anything about the thing? Why don't you go up there?
Our first sale, big sale, book sale is Thursday, 8 to 4, Friday, 4 and Saturday, 9 to 12.
Very good. And they can bring stuff? You know, it's that thing we call stuff at home that you don't need. If you haven't used it in probably 10, 15, 20 years, you probably don't need it. So maybe somebody else does. So please come. Thank you, Arlen, for that. I ask that you all keep our synod in your prayers next Saturday as we gather as our synod assembly. Jerry and Cindy and I will be attending from Christ Lutheran here next Saturday. And the you know what next Saturday is, the 4th of May.
May the fourth be with you.
You know. I think that Star Wars was made for Lutherans. May the fourth be with you. But the theme of this year's assembly is "May the faith be with you." So, kind of playing off that thing. May the faith be with you. So, are there any other announcements that need to be lifted up? Yes, Cindy. Thank you, Cindy.
Jessica and I both have announcements. Next Sunday is also Cinco de Mayo, and it's the adult prom for adults with disabilities. It's at the Stout Ale House, and the Grand March is at 2 o'clock. That's open to the public, so if you want to come out and see everybody in their fancy dresses, Jessica and I will be there. We're participating. And if you wanted to donate, the meals are $15 per adult, and we are taking donations for those. See me after the service if you want to donate. And Jessica has more to add.
Good morning.
Morning.
There's a Joyful Noise Choir that I'm in for intellectual disabilities or without disabilities that can sing or can't sing, and I'm in it. It's on Tuesday, May 21st, if you guys want to come and see me and my friends sing out to the... it's out by the old... what is it called? It's the bar out there.
At the Methodist Church.
That's at the Methodist Church. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you can't put more on next Sunday, or no, excuse me, is it? Yeah, Sunday the 5th at Luther Park. It's invited to out there to share fun and music. You'll see that Breaking Chains and them Coolie Boys.
Hey, I love them.
You love them Coolie Boys.
Oh, I worked with them. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, okay. Are going to be there performing in just a day of celebration with things. So, any other announcements? Well, there goes my time. Amen. We have some special music.
We do. We love this song, and so we thought we'd bring it back. We did it here last year. And let's thank Gary Wagner for playing drums with us this morning. I'm going to hear about that after the service, but we just want you to sit back and enjoy this song because we really enjoy it.
I want to say one more thing. This coming week, I want you to keep all the students as stout in your prayers, because this coming week is a graduation, but then there's finals after that. For those who are graduating, they're smiling right now. Yes?
18 kids packed 20 study kits on Friday night. Well, it was actually Saturday morning by that point. 20 study kits are coming. Well, 17 study kids are coming to
LCM
this week.
That's all happened from the lock-in on Friday night. And we had 18 kids here?
18 kids.
18 kids here for our lock-in on. Okay. Go for it.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.